Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Di, how are you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Happy. Just walked in the door. No, it's perfect, perfect.
I know. You've had a long day. I appreciate you being here and stuff. So.
No problem.
It's all good.
I had to work at another store today, and they were shorthanded anyway, so it was just kind of a long day. But I just got up here, and John has the deck looking really cute.
Oh, that's cool. Anyway,
all the flowers.
Oh, you guys are really moving in and got a working on a relationship. And I think it's all a work in process, right? Or
yes.
To get going and everything. Let me ask
for
you a question.
Sure.
Yeah. For sure, I hear you. What is the most challenging thing to in a relationship? Do you feel? What do you feel? Because we're doing a 4-part series. It's your idea, by the way. You're the one that thought of this. And we've got some great stuff to talk about tonight about intimacy. But what do you think the most challenging thing is in a relationship? For you and John or for any one of your friends or, whatever, what do you feel?
I think the biggest challenge for me always, but it may not be the same with everybody, is struggling with my own insecurities. It's getting that level of trust with the other person because you have to conquer your own insecurities. That's the hardest thing for me.
I hear you.
There's always that little voice and that little green-eyed monster that rears its ugly head, and you're always feeling like, oh, are they really being level with me, or is there somebody else, or, feeling like you're not very important to them, That's what I struggle with, the most.
I hear you. So your own insecurities and saying, hey, this is what really hurts me and this is what I'm feeling like, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that men that are listening in now or will download it later, or women too, say, oh, yeah, I understand. And the men are going, hey, if it were your insecurities are okay, just share them with me.
Right.
And, and women are saying, I get you because I feel the same way. But my, true intimacy, I really feel – comes from being able to be so open with that person. You stand in front of them, and it's not even about having sex, and we'll talk about that tonight, right? It's always a good subject to talk
mm-hmm.
about.
It's
always about standing in front of that person and being open and vulnerable and saying, hey, this is what hurts me, this is what pisses me off, and probably this is why we're both together. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this is, this is what I feel. And a lot of times, and I know this, I see this a lot in relationships. People are like, when we first get together, we're always so kind and so nice, right? And letting them see the best. And then all this stuff comes out. But I really feel, and I know this, and I had a discussion with my dad yesterday about it. And I go, Dad, I said, people are brought together. Because first of all, to heal their own insecurities, their own stuff, and you've got your stuff, I've got my stuff, and everybody does. But that person that comes in our life, or that situation that comes in our life, let's say you have and I talked to someone about this yesterday. He's an amazing person, and I love him with all my heart, and he's a good friend, right? The friends are easier to be with than lovers sometimes.
Right.
But he's a gay man, and his guy is or his ex-boyfriend, ex-mate, is trying to get him back and using control, okay? If you don't do this, I'm going to take this away from you, because they had a business and a life together, and now they're broken up. And so I feel that he knows the way to pull his strings. Okay, and I have my own strings that get pulled. You have yours, is to control with him. I'm going to take this away from you. And so, therefore, we're operating at an ego level, and we're never getting to the real stuff that makes us tick. Do you understand? And how do we get there? How do we say, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore? It's hard because, you're mad, you're hurt. You go, if I say too much, he's going to leave. If I say too much, I'm going to leave. If I say too much, I'm going to just screw this relationship and forget it. So how do you deal with it? What's your thoughts? Because I know you're in a new relationship. You guys are living together. You guys are like loving each other and doing the deal. So how do you do that?
It still has a struggle. Right. It always has a struggle. and usually it's because of my own insecurities. But, you
how
know, he's
you?
Got them, too. He's got them, too. Because he'll pop out with, you know, well, if you keep me around long enough, if you keep me around, you know, it's always like he'll say, if you let me stay around longer. So it's like his insecurities pop out in different ways, you know. But then, of course,
right.
that makes me feel insecure. It's like, oh, is he not planning on us being together?
Right.
So it's hard.
Then you come to
yeah,
Teresa, your friend, the psychic, and what do you see, Teresa? I was like, okay, Ty, this is what I see. I think you guys can be together for a while, a long time. I don't believe in
for
forever. You,
yeah.
Yeah. For well, you know, forever for me is 2 months. Mm-hmm. It hurts to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teasing, but yeah, you know. So he's obviously. So when you look at him, what do you see about him? What are his insecurities?
Oh, I think he thinks the Lori situation is just, you know, he knows it gets to me, and he just doesn't know how much longer I'll deal with it, and he knows it's not going to change for a long, long time. So he figures, well, she may put up with it for a long time, and maybe she won't, you know. So that's what he deals with, I know. But I think he's got
so
a big
he
enough
thinks
ego
it's
that
hers, but it's his, right? Do you feel
right,
it's his?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
So in real
totally.
Stuff, let me ask you a question. And you know, as I said, I have a couple things happened yesterday because I'm gonna go back one day. Somebody with has a mate that's trying to control them. An ex-mate that's trying to control them with money and time, and also manipulating them with I don't have any money. I lost my job because of you. I have another situation where the girl is saying the same thing. I don't have anything because I believed in you, and you said you would
mm-hmm.
do this. And,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like guilt, and we feel guilty, and we feel like, oh, my God, right? And I know that you
right.
feel guilty because the situation you're in is really challenging when it's somebody's health and their debility. They're becoming more incapacitated, okay?
Right.
So, you know, you don't want to look like the bad guy. So
right.
what is the solution? Right, right. So how do you handle that? I mean, you know, I'd rather than giving you something textbook or having an expert on, I think the experts are people that walk it and live it every day, okay? And you walk
That's
it and live
true.
It every day, and you put your battle fatigues on. You know, this other dude puts his battle fatigues on, and he lives it every day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she does too, the other one. So how do you, what advice do you have with someone? I mean, because we want this close connection where we have this amazing relationship.
Right.
So
I think the biggest thing is to, like you were saying earlier, to voice your own insecurities and not be afraid to tell them, I'm feeling insecure because blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, it's not you, you know, the famous line, it's not you, it's me. But, I mean, seriously, to own your insecurities and not blame them for it and just say, hey, I'm needing help with this, you know, that seems to help more than anything. Because if you're not pointing the finger of blame, like it's your fault that I feel this way, then they are a lot more eager to try to help you and do things to make you feel more secure when you're not blaming them for it. And I think that's the biggest thing is to stop playing the blame game, because then you're basically asking them for help. You know, you're saying, hey, this is my issue. I realize it. You haven't done anything to, you know, aggravate it. It's just mine, and this is what I'm struggling with. Then they're a lot more inclined to say, oh, my God, you know, I want to help you with this, and what can I do? You know, but when you blame them, when you say, you know, well, you're doing this, and, you know, it makes me mad. People never want to say I feel insecure. They always just say, makes me mad. And when reality is that you feel hurt because you're feeling insecure and you're feeling not worthy. So if you turn that around and just tell them, that's how I'm feeling. I know it's my problem. It's not yours. They'll usually, you know, if they have half a heart and if they really care about you, go the extra mile to make sure that you do feel secure. But if you start saying I'm mad at you did this and you did that, then immediately they go on the defensive. And then it's just like a vicious circle, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that too as well. You know what I told someone too, and this is so true. You got to be careful with this because you know it's a written word. So depending on where you're at, you probably may not want to do this if you're in the middle of a nasty divorce. Okay, write a letter. You're right. You know, because
yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, write an email telling, sharing all your feelings and thoughts with it. And one thing that I really am a firm believer on is waiting 3 days before you talk to someone. Okay, do you understand? Or talk to him about the situation. Doesn't mean you cut him off. I don't really think that's right.
Right.
But wait 3 days till you calm down. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
when you're operating from fear, fear is the ego's playground. Okay.
Right.
And you and in the process of waiting. Okay. So if you're dealing with a control issue, man, that's the hardest
mm-hmm.
one to, because it imposes a lot of fear. Usually when they control, they bring out the bag of skeletons or the bag of stuff that you're afraid of and use it against
mm-hmm.
you. And that sucks. You know what I mean? And I know that your situation, on more than one occasion, not the guy that you're involved with now, but I know in the past, there's more than one he here. Because there's only one he, there's a lot of he's or she's, there's only one you. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing
right.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I do know is that if you give it time, you can say, hey, higher self, 3 minutes, 3 days, 3 hours, whatever. You know, come in and really take over this part of my life because I am operating from fear. And fear is going to just breed another fear. And Archangel Michael's great and I want to share this with you guys. I have a friend of mine, and she uses Archangel Michael to help her through a really volatile relationship, emotionally and physical. And the guy calmed down, and she was able to leave peacefully. And with her things, you know, her business and her material possessions, and most of all herself, which is, you know, that was important. So ask for Archangel Michael's helper. Thank him for helping you, and say, hey, thank you, Michael, for helping me. And then and do that. But so you're scarred from that relationship, right? You know, you get scarred from relationships. How do
mm-hmm.
you say, okay, this is not going to happen again? I'm going to be totally upfront and honest. Do you do that with any relationship? Okay, on the first date, I have issues with control. Like, do you do that? Probably not.
Control.
What's your thoughts on that? So what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, I'm hypersensitive. Yes, hypersensitive to betrayal, obviously. Most of us are. We've had that happen to us. And, you know, you hate for your new partner to pay for the sins of your old partner, but it happens because you're so conscious, and you know how I've been. It's like I get old stuff surfacing from an ex, and I take it out on John, and it's not his fault. And that's, I don't know how you can control that. I mean, you do it subconsciously. You're not even thinking about it, and you feel like you're bristling up, you know. You're reading stuff into things, and you're so you're so hypervigilant on not letting that happen to you again that it's like your wall of defense is always up. And that is really hard to deal with from both sides. It's hard for your new partner to deal with, and it's hard for you because you can't really enjoy your new relationship when you keep looking for signs of your old relationship to pop up. So, and, you know, I've struggled with that a lot where I've just, I'm so conscious of not being put second, you know, because I felt like I was put behind other women for one reason or another, whether it was their ex-wife or their mother or their girlfriend or whatever. I felt like I was not the number one woman. And so I think at the littlest sign of that, I'm like ready to bail out. And that's not healthy. That's not right, you know. So I completely struggle with that. But I mean, I've been very honest with John, and you know, I've told him this is where I'm coming from, and I'm sorry if you're paying for somebody else's lying or cheating or whatever, but this is something that I'm really sensitive to. And so he's gone the extra mile trying to make me feel like, you know, I'm the most important person, and if he has to do something for somebody else, he'll give me, you know, a heads up well in advance, you know, I've got to do this for my ex-wife, and, you know, he'll ask me what time would be better for you. Is it, you know, easier for you if I do this while you're working or blah, blah, blah. And so I think just having that conversation and feeling like he's actually being conscious of my feelings, it makes all the difference in the world. It really does.
Right. That's great. That's great that he does that for you. And one of the things that I do know is when you really work on this and you can be totally open, and yourself and vulnerable and kind of that person without you know, it's almost being naked in front of that person. I think that's harder to do than physical, taking off all your clothes and being naked. When you can do that, it's amazing. But I think instead of coming, I'm going to use a but. And this is something that I do know, because most of the time the people that call me and that I do sessions with are people that have problems in love and or money or both, okay? But one of the things that I think that you do is that you really start doing a philosophy that, you know, whether it's A Course in Miracles, whether it's Angel Coaches and Course in Miracles, whatever it is, because the same things that you have inside of you that created the problem are not the same things that are going to release the problems. Do you understand? It's going to be a different philosophy. So you've got to be researching, and that's so important. So you can come to your next relationship or your potential relationship or the existing relationship and look at that person, man or woman, whoever you're attracted to, and say, you know what? Here's the deal. I've always thought that love is the most important, maybe. And this is one thing that somebody taught me not too long ago. But it's really trust that's important, because if you don't trust, you can love all you want, but if you don't have trust with you or with some, you know, or with me, then we have nothing, because trust is an animal that you can't beat around, and love is, you know, because we do that quite a bit. And I go, how did you get that? And the person told me, he said, I really studied yoga and The Course in Miracles and, you know, and other things. So what I'm saying to you guys is call on Archangel Michael, okay, or do what Di is saying to do. Do you know what I mean? Sharing with him or her and being really honest and open, but really be working on yourself. You know what? Using some kind of philosophy, meditation, Tony Robbins, whatever, reading books, right? Because if you come to him or her and you're angry and you're saying, you know what, this is bothering me in our intimate relationship. I can't have a conversation with you. I don't want to make love with you. I don't want to have sex with you because whatever the because is, you're too controlling, you don't acknowledge what you do, you don't take my feelings into consideration. I mean, there's a host of things, and you're not working on yourself. You're going to sound like an old hag or an old, you know, just not cool. So I think it's important to work on yourself, have some kind of philosophy that you're doing, okay, so you've got something that's building you up, because the same thing that you started that problem with is you, and you are part of the problem, okay? It's not the way you can solve it. I mean, it's just not. You know what I mean? If you ask yourself a question, and this is so true, you say, okay, I know this guy left me, or I know this woman left me, but what part did I play in it? And you did play a part, because it was the law of attraction that created it. And so you got to look at that and say, okay, so what do I do now? And really work on a philosophy that will help you realize your true, tap into your true power, your true potential, whatever you call it. You know what I mean? I think that's important too as well. Now, one of the things that sex, people get upset. Well, he doesn't want to have sex with me. She doesn't want to have sex with me, right? What's your thoughts about that? Because I love sex. I mean, I think sex is amazing, okay, you know, when they're in the right situation. You know, in the right situation doesn't mean, like, you have to be in a relationship, because there's some people that don't feel that, so it's the right situation for you. I want to clarify that. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think definitely the emotional, especially with women, the emotional security definitely attaches itself to the desire for sex. So women are the ones who are famous for withholding sex, you know, and using sex as a weapon or a tool against their partner. So if they're not feeling loved, they're not going to feel loving towards their partner. So that is usually the first thing to go, I think, with committed relationships. You know, it's so easy to let the physical part go if you're not feeling emotionally close to them. Then you really don't want to be physically close to them. So in order to not let the physical life suffer, you have to communicate. You have to have that verbal intimacy with them. And, you know, what I've found in my own life is once the physical part, if it goes, it's just gone forever for me. It's like if once I start feeling just turned off because I was emotionally turned off, I don't ever get that spark back. I don't ever get that desire. And I know, you know, marriage counselors and therapists say, oh, you work on it. For me, I find that not to be true. Once I've lost that physical desire for a man, It's just gone.
I know that about you.
Yes, it is. And so I don't want to ever get to that point. You know, again, in a relationship where I've lost the emotional intimacy and then the physical intimacy left because I know it'll never come back. So I don't want to lose that. And I am very conscious then of making sure, you know, like people say, you don't go to bed mad. Well, maybe sometimes you do go to bed mad, but maybe at least you've talked about it and you feel like they're open to listening to you and you still can establish that physical connection because I think that's the easiest thing to go out of a relationship. I think it's the first thing that really you see the suffering of it before, even though the emotional suffering came first, the manifestation of that is usually the physical distance, and that's what usually people will cite as a reason to end the relationship. You know, how many men are saying, you know, well, my wife, she doesn't want to have sex anymore, and so they seek a physical companion outside of the marriage, you know. So, you know, you don't want to get to that point, so you have to keep that emotional intimacy alive to keep that physical intimacy from going. And the emotional intimacy, I think, is much easier to revive than the physical. And then once again, this is from my own experience. You know, I could be in a cold war with a man, and the minute he'll break down and talk to me, I suddenly feel that emotional connection again. Whereas, like I said, if I've gotten distant from him physically, I've learned to live without him physically, and I don't ever want to reestablish that connection physically a lot of times. So it's just,
I know you well. And I'm saying zero, nothing right now. No, but I know that about you. Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I really agree with you. You're so funny. I was sitting there going, you know, in your memoirs, and it will be under an alias, you and I will both write a bunch of stuff.
Yes, no kidding. Although I've been pretty open about other things, you know.
you have. I appreciate you. I'm teasing you a little bit, all those who are listening who will download it later. I want to share this with you, and this is what I really feel. For me, having physical intimacy, just having sex, doesn't work for me. You know, I mean, there was a time I think we all just say, oh, it doesn't really matter if I have sex with him, then I'm going to be with him forever, or I'm going to be with him, you know, forever for me is 2 months, 2 years, right? Teasing, but forever for you is, you know, it's just different. And so one of the things that I really feel is that physical intimacy, probably need to build a friendship first. And I've not been one for that. There was a time I said, oh, physical intimacy is just, you know, don't get it confused and don't use it to tie you to a relationship. But I still feel that way, but I feel this is so important that you are friends first. And if you're friends and you can, you know, I can look at my best friend and say, hey, I don't like you right now. You're a jerk, and she's going to walk away, and she goes, so are you. And we're going to come back later and be friends and talk, and she can tell me about her new guy, and I'll tell her about, you know, my new whatever, and be cool. Or, you know, I have a good friend now. He's an amazing guy, and he's gay, and I wish I could marry him. But then, you know, it would not be, you know what I mean? He gets men and women both. He's just a great guy like that. So, but, you know, I if I get upset at him, which I never have, but if I ever did, I could just say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to talk to you. And we can't do that with our guy or our mate. I don't know why not. But I do think when we build a friendship, it is amazing. And I'll share this with you. And this is something I know for myself. I've built a friendship with two men before, really, and they've both been great loves to me. And one of them, he's just a super great guy, and the only reason why I didn't stay with him is that he was Jewish, and I knew he needed to marry someone that was Jewish, too, because he was Israeli. The other one died in a car accident. But I remember making love with him and having sex with him, and it, time and space ceased to exist. But we were really good friends. We would work out together. We would talk together. We would talk about books. We would read because one didn't like to go boat riding. One liked to ride in a boat, wouldn't ride in a car. And the other one, he and I would talk about business ideas and discuss business and go working out and running the whole thing. So I could tell him anything. and both of them, I could tell him anything. And we were friends first.
Right.
And I don't know if you can do that. I would like to think that I could, because when we had sex, it was amazing sex. But there was a time when the sex stopped. It was just such a connection that passed time and space. And the only way I can compare it to is, like, sometimes I'm running. And when I'm running, I forget about everything except I become a part of the run, and I became a part of that person. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And and you guys, sometimes it's not about lasting forever. It's lasting until it's time to move on, okay? And
right.
I would have missed out on a couple of great experiences. But that's what I think sex is that if you can make that person your best friend, as well as your lover, as well as your mate, and I think that's hard, okay? That's challenging to do, you know what I mean? So...
definitely.
What do you feel? How do you do that?
I do. It's hard when you're meeting people for the purpose of dating, because I met John online, and, you know, you're not meeting somebody, you're not going online to a dating site so you can make a new friend, and so it's there's kind of pressure there. It's like, okay, either there's chemistry there right away or not, and if there is, you both are basically turning that into more than friends right away. You know, you're not saying, well, let's just be friends. We didn't go online to get a friend, you know. So I think it makes it difficult in our age of dating. When you're meeting people online for the purpose of finding a partner, you're not going online saying, I'm looking for a new friend, you know. So that makes it harder. I think when you meet people at work or at school or, you know, your neighborhood, wherever you meet them, if you meet them just in that friendship arena, then it makes it much easier to establish a friendship first. But I think there's so many of us who have met our partners online on a dating site that it seems kind of ridiculous to turn around and say, okay, I was on this dating site to meet you, but now I want to be friends, and then I hope we can be more than friends. You know, I don't think a lot of people would go for that. So I think the arenas that we're meeting people in, it will really depend on whether you're going to really establish a friendship first. Now, it's ideal if you establish a friendship as you are also starting to date or whatever. And that's awesome. You know, that's ideal. But I think it's very hard to establish a friendship first if you have met someone on a dating site. And I know most of my friends, that's where we're meeting people now. You know, you're meeting people on a dating site. We're used to, you met them, you know, at church functions or wherever it was, people would go to meet other people and they would have a friendship first. So I think it really depends on the arena that you've met, whether you can really do that without making the other person feel like you're not interested in them. You know, if I had told John, oh, I want to be friends first, he may have told me to take a hike. I don't know. You know? I'm not sure.
Well, you brought a valid point about how you meet the person. You're meeting them on a dating website, and you're looking for a relationship. I'm not sure how to work that, but one of the things that I do know is I told a guy recently, I go, I really, really want to work on a friendship with you, and where I can tell him anything. And because I've had that two times before, and it has been amazing.
Right.
And sex has been amazing. You know, right now it's like, oh, I have to go down on him. Or I'm being honest, right? You've got ladies I know who have talked to you before. He never goes down on me, or he never caresses me or cuddles me, or he only wants sex, whatever the thing is, right? But if it's your best friend, you're like, hey, you know what? We got a 5K run tomorrow, so let's eat well, let's go to bed, and then we'll have sex after we finish. And I would probably say something like, kick your ass, you know, or kick, you know, whatever. But those are kind of something maybe we work toward. Or I talked to a couple the other day. They had a session with me, and they just moved in with each other in February, and they run together, they play together, they work out together, and they work separately, right? And it's not that they have to do that because they don't trust, but he goes, that's my best friend. She goes, she's my best friend, and we've been together for 3 years, and we started out as friends, and there was a romance there, a feeling there. You guys know what I'm talking about. And it just when it was right, it was right. And I told them, I said, what did you guys do? Something, and they go, well, they were someone that had really had a philosophy, like I was talking about, to attract someone and get rid of their old stuff, you know, or not get rid of it, but however you say it, like not operate from the ego and fear. And they created this amazing and creating continued continually creating a great relationship. So one of the things I said to myself, I go, and I heard this from Marianne Williamson, and this, I read it in The Course in Miracles, is turn every relationship, okay, romantic relationship over to God, the Holy Spirit, your angels, your ascended masters, whatever you believe in, your higher part of yourself, and say, I turn this over to you to make it a spiritual relationship instead of a special relationship. And mm-hmm. when it's spiritual, doesn't mean it can't be fun and sexy. It just means that, you know, because we think spiritual means all reverend and all that, whatever you call it. And but what I've seen from people that have turned it over, they have an amazing life. I have a couple of friends of mine that are out in California, and she's entering the Miss Fitness contest, and he's doing the same thing with her. And they work out together. They work together. They have the same Facebook page, but it's not because he's checking on her, she's checking on him. It's because they are a couple, and they believe in what they're doing. So having the philosophy that you're working in bettering yourself, whether it's Tony Robbins, whatever it is, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, angel coaches, because I think we're amazing, and or having asking Archangel Michael to help you. You know, working on being a friend, but also recognizing that sometimes you meet in a situation where you're a friend and a lover, which you're doing, and being open and sharing your insecurities with that person and saying, hey, here I am. Do you still want me? Or great, here I am. I'm glad you still want me, whatever that may be. And turning every relationship, a romantic relationship or any relationship over to God, the angels, Holy Spirit, whatever you believe in, higher part of yourself. I think there's a few, you know, too, as well. So, and when I grew up, I tell you, I told you this last, a few days ago, I said, I want to be just like you and John. I want a John.
I'm just not ready for him yet.
Yeah. Anyway, but Di made a list of characteristics that she wanted with a guy. And I suggest that for anybody that listens to this now or downloads it later, make a list of physical characteristics, spiritual characteristics, and emotional characteristics that you'd like in your in your partner. And you will attract it. She attracted. She saw his shoulders first. I like that. You know.
But, I know. Isn't that funny? Then, I saw him from shoulders up, but I noticed his shoulders. And I kept telling you, I don't know anybody who's got muscly shoulders like that.
I was thinking to myself, now you do. That's going to be great because I think this will.
Yeah, yummy.
I like somebody who's super physically attractive because I work out on myself all the time, so it's important to me. The heart is the most important, I think, for all of us. So. Anyway,
yeah.
Di, this has been a great show to do with you, and I appreciate it so very much. You know, and you're the one that thought of this idea and the different ways men and women communicate. And I think one of a situation I'm going to leave you with is that one of the things that women do is we like to have sex to hopefully to get our partner to love us more, and men like to have sex sometimes when they're first starting out to get laid. You know, but
right.
That's what it appears to be. But I think deep down we all want great love. You know, so that's what I feel as well. And I think Oscar Wilde said it best. He said, women are not to be understood. They're here to be loved. Just remember that.
Oh, that's
my
good.
Mate. Yeah.
Yes,
I love
that.
Him. He's
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Anyway. yeah, that's all we want, some love. And to be understood and to listen. You know what I mean? So it's all good. I know our next show is going to be on Tuesday night. It's Manifesting with the Angels. And we're going to have a yoga instructor on there. She's going to talk about the mind, body, spirit, and breathing and how to connect with the angels. She's done it herself. And then on Thursday, we have a 30-day challenge. We took the first week last week, so we're going to talk to some people that are doing the 30-day challenge and what their first week was like and how they've improved. Remember, I said to have a great mate, to have a great love, it really means that you have a philosophy where you come from love instead of fear, really. That's what it's all about.
Right.
And, yeah, and so you're going to hear what they're doing to come from a lot of love and creating love in their life and creating health in their life and prosperity in every area. So that's going to be Thursday night. And then, of course, next Sunday, you've got Di and I. We always talk about relationships. So if there's something you want to hear about, then let us know. Follow us on blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches because when you follow us, you get a lot of special gifts and a lot of special prizes. I always think prizes, and they're free. Anything free is good most of the time. And we take a lot of our philosophy. Well, we put it in our book. You mean there's – well, Di, you tell them the name of her book and how to get a hold of it because I'm chatting away here.
You mean
Sorry.
There's a – yeah, no. It's called You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me, a Psychic and a Humorous Explained Metaphysics. and they can get it on Amazon, or they can order through you at angelcoaches.com. And it's a great book. It's very informative, and it's also funny. But, it, you know, it's not so metaphysical that you're going to feel like you're reading the gypsy fortune teller stuff. You know, it's very real life, hands-on, and there's things that you can do right now to start help yourself manifesting that love that you want.
There you go. That works. And, guys, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/angelcoaches, and like us there and post a comment if you have anything that you want to hear or you have a story that you want to share, and we would appreciate it. And I know you guys, looking for that great love or, you know, a prosperity in your heart, sometimes feels like it's never going to happen, but I promise you it will. And you just have to be prepared for it and ready for it. It's almost like having your relatives come over for Christmas Day and you haven't cleaned the house yet. So sometimes you got to clean the house, do it, mow the lawn before the guy comes, okay, or before the relatives come. So that's what I say. And I do angel readings with you. So if you want to know what's coming, what you're creating using the law of attraction, the power of intention, and most of all what the angels share with me clairvoyantly, then give me a call, 954-636-9401. I am also doing Akashic Record readings, and that affects your relationships that you're having right now a lot. So anyway, hopefully we get to talk soon. You guys have a great now, and Di, you go enjoy time with your man, and I'm going to go write a list and create my man. Take care, everybody. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.